It's that time. We about to get busy. Oh, you're gonna love this. From your number one hit music station in Kano, 96.9 Cool FM. It's the 4Play Podcast.
Yo, what's poppin'? It's the 4Play Podcast. My name is KO. I'm not alone in this tiny studio. A bunch of people in here. Hope we don't suffocate. Shouts to Mega, Detox, and Eric. What's up, guys?
And we are here. Good. We're great.
Chilling, doing okay. Ready to go on and
getting ready for the 4Play.
All right. So, did you guys listen to the last episode we published?
Come on.
I mean, we were behind the mic.
So this is the thing I want to ask about this business. Do you ever get tired of hearing your own voice?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, I get tired.
No, I don't.
I really
get tired. I don't get tired.
Fun fact is, I actually enjoy listening to you guys than I enjoy listening to myself.
Same here. I hate my voice.
I'm telling you.
When the promo was playing for the week, I wish I could skip my part.
Yo!
I got tired of hearing my part over. I'm like, oh man, I'm just tired of this voice.
Cringe fest.
Yeah. The only part I'm really concerned about regarding my voice is I sound feminine sometimes. I don't know. My voice just gets really, really light.
Isn't that a good thing? You sound feminine?
No. It's not.
How do you want to sound? Masculine?
Of course.
It's
going to be super sexist.
Do you have something against the women?
No, yes.
You know how weird
it is. Here we go. Let's have this conversation right now.
You know how weird it is when you're talking to a caller or you pick a call from a listener and the listener is like, and the listener is,
what's up, bitch?
Good day, ma.
No, Eric, it's not that bad.
It is that bad.
Come on. No, I mean, okay, so I just spoke with Eric on the phone when I called him. I was trying to call him to calm down. And he sounded quite like a little bitch.
Seriously.
I mean, he went something like, hello.
That's my midday voice.
So I had to tell him, what the fuck is going on? What's that sexy hello you're doing?
Oh, my days. Yo,
your ass down here.
And the funny thing is, Eric, you like this thing. The first time we had a conversation about it, you said, you know, you sound like a baby boy on radio.
Yeah, baby boy. Which is sometimes misconstrued as being feminine.
So I don't want to change that now?
I don't think there's anything wrong with sounding like a girl.
I don't think you can do anything about it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I'm very sure I can do something about it.
No, that's just a little bit, man. You can't maintain this, man. Next. Brother man is giving to his chest right now.
I can try my best.
My days.
So the convo on this edition of the show will start with the talk about R&B and whether R&B music is dead. Mm. I feel like I have an unfair advantage because recently we introduced this cool R&B playlist on the Night Cafe. So I've been digging the crates. But this conversation about R&B being dead is one that has been had over the years. Before we get into it though, does anybody here have a favorite R&B singer?
Yep, Usher Raymond.
Okay.
To be honest, I really don't have any favorite R&B singer. I just vibe to the good songs. Yeah.
Mm. Man, that's a tough one. A really tough one because most of the guys that I would say are my R&B favorites, well, kind of like stopped doing R&B.
That conversation.
Yeah, they had to branch off. So I don't know if I could call them my favorites, and then it just so happens that they're pop now.
Okay, so who's that person who used to do R&B that is your favorite?
Let's say I'll pick Chris Brown.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Is there a favorite R&B project that anybody like, yo, that's my go-to?
I mean, that Usher Raymond's album, I don't know, it's one or two of the Confessions. Which one had, okay, not, I don't think it's Confession. Which one had that You Got It Bad?
That's the album 1-8-1-0-1.
I really liked that project. Yeah. I really liked it. I think it's a good one.
And considering the fact that I sing for fun, R&B has, would I say, has lost its touch? I mean, back in the, most of us, I'm very sure I was born, I was conceived while an R&B song was playing.
What
you know
song,
what I mean?
What song might that be?
I have no idea. But I have a feeling that I was conceived while an R&B. And what is R&B? Rhythm and blues. That means the song has a rhythm. And it's blues when it's slow tempo. It's not fast. It's not here and there. It's not helter-skelter. And it always has a message. It could be about love. It could be about emotions. It could be about suffering. It could be about pain.
Yeah.
But these days, nobody bothers about that anymore. I'm like, you're playing away. When you... Okay, fine. Request. When we used to have a request show on each of the belts, you'd hardly find someone asking or requesting for an R&B song. They want the buzz bars. They want the ampianos. They want the chilling with the bam bams. They want the big bum bum.
That's not true.
Seriously?
Yes.
For real? Like, seriously, when was the last time someone requested for a Boyz II Men song?
Maybe it depends on the time of the day. Perhaps, I mean, I would agree with you, during the day, I don't see anybody requesting for any. Because even I try to discourage it on radio. What do I mean? I mean, I don't want you to request for songs that kill the tempo. It's the middle of the day, so somehow I could interfere with the playlist. So I'm just trying to keep a tempo here. So if you requested for such a slow song, may not pass. But I can understand that if it's at the night time, you have a good number of motherfuckers requesting for, you know,
slow songs. Yeah, and I feel like R&B is kind of like a personal choice. Something you want to include on your playlist and that will speak to you at certain times. And I think that has not really worked for the genre. If it was a little bit, maybe a sound that can be appreciated at any point in time, you feel the need to. And that's the best part about Afrobeats. Afrobeats can literally transverse so many different ways, in so many countless ways. You could be angry and you listen to Afrobeats. You could want to feel like you are on top of the world, you play Afrobeats. You could be having a terrible day and you could play that as well. But R&B is kind of like restricted to certain moods. And I think that has kind of like affected the genre.
But, and you know, when we look at the history, when we look at the origins of R&B, it dates back to the slave trade era, where you had slaves singing folk songs from back home, coining new ones. And it was, if you listen to every, it was not jiggy 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 bang bang bang. It was, oh, no, 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 take me home. From there, R&B built up. And back in the day, you had R&B, you had jazz, you had classical, and that was it. Then you had rock, then pop came in, and then Afrofusion, Afro this, Afro that. And R&B has, would I say, lost its, like you said, it's a personal choice. You won't see a lot of people like saying, okay, I want to listen to an R&B song in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because back then, if you don't listen to an R&B song in the middle of the day, you weren't listening to shit.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, so why did that have to change? I miss those days, man.
But here's something I want to ask you guys. Have you noted any Nigerian R&B songs in recent times?
this guy does a job. Johnny Dre, but I don't know if that falls into R&B.
Okay, so what?
Rick Hassani. This guy's
they are skirting the.
You know why I think R&B, even if it's not dead now, may die soon? It's because most things in the society have a way of money being involved. And that means there's not so much money to be made with R&B anymore, that if you continue to do R&B music, you might go broke. Because, I mean, people are paying for shows to go and, you know, I mean,
chill with the big boys.
How many of these R&B songs can actually, you know, fill up a stadium? Fact. So that's why I suspect that even some R&B guys are stepping up, you know, getting into different genres, because that's where the money is. If you're not getting money for your this thing, that could be a problem.
I agree with Detox in some aspects, but I feel like when music gets to the point where it is, the conversation around music now is going to a point where, in all honesty, if you're an artist, you should not be looking forward to filling up a stadium. In all honesty.
Why not?
What's the goal?
Now, the goal is for you to be able to connect to your core fans. Connect to your core fan base and deal directly with them. I'll use Johnny Drill as a perfect example. Johnny Drill is not going to come to a show, for example, in a state where he's not being streamed. He probably will go to a place where he's being streamed and he has 100 core fans who want to listen to his genre of music. Now, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying you should not aim to have 1 million people who are in the stadium with you vibing, but that should not be your goal, especially if you are in a genre that is not as appreciated as the other genres.
In this commercialized way.
You're listening to the 4Play Podcast.
Hope you enjoy it.
I mean, I see KU has been trying to say something
but I wanted to just talk about the whole Nigerian R&B thing. Funny thing is, Tems, she put out this
EP called Orange is a, Orange something.
Orange is in back, New Black or something.
I think Orange is in
That's the
black.
Second album.
Let me find it.
She put that EP out last year, right?
Yeah.
That was the one with Crazy Things and all of that.
Mm.
So that EP dropped around the same time she did the collaboration with Drake.
If Orange was a place. Yeah.
So on that EP, there's a collaboration with Brent Fires, and it's an R&B song. If you listen to Ira Starr's album, if you listen to the albums, you hear an R&B song here and there.
Yes, yes.
And the thing that I found funny is the Complex Magazine, they did this article talking about this, when the problem started with R&B, how this identity crisis started to develop. And they were saying that there was a time when you had people like Frank Ocean and The Weeknd putting out R&B albums, and they were like the biggest R&B stars then. But the R&B community were like this guy here. They were saying, oh no, it must be like this. Even their appearance was an issue for this purism kind of, you know, mindset that an R&B singer, you can't even look like this. You can't do a pop song every now and then.
Yeah.
It must be love song of a certain tempo. So record labels now said, oh my, fuck it too. You're an R&B singer, I know. When you go to that radio station, they ask you what genre you're doing. Just tell them pop. Leave this R&B thing for the people who want to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it funny that if someone like Tems, her tradition, like her foundation is R&B.
True.
When she comes for an interview, she's never going to say she's an R&B singer.
No.
Because she doesn't want to be put in that box. She will say, oh, I'm Afro this, Afro this, because nobody wants to be put in a box.
So the
genre kind of killed itself with that restrictive nature. Like, it doesn't want to grow.
And I'm thinking, look, I agree with you. It's going to die. Sadly.
It can't die.
It's not to say
it won't be
years from
right?
now. It exactly. won't be. It won't be mainstream. And we all can agree that back in the day, it was such a big deal.
Oh yeah,
R&B. It was a big deal. And then, like Caleb said, it may have killed itself. The pop came with so much fire. It just seemed more like something you can vibe to anytime. And then once the commercial guys move to a certain direction, the money moves. And now the marketers, the promoters are on pop and then Afrobeat. You have even people who are doing R&B songs from America or wherever. They're trying to collaborate with, you know, African arts to do some Afrobeat because the world is moving towards Afrobeat and some other things now. So it's like where the promotion and the promoters are moving. That's where the money goes. It's left R&B now. I don't see it going back. So as each day passes, what I think about R&B is it gets less popular. And over time, R&B is still going to be there, but I don't see it ever coming.
Now, just because it's not popular on the mainstream, that doesn't mean it's like Mega. I'm going back to what Mega said earlier, that personal choice.
Yeah.
Yes, you would want to listen to Baz Boz, but trust me, nobody is going to listen to Baz
Boz. That's not
going
to amount to
7 o'clock.
Personal choice. It's not going
to amount to 100 million streams.
100 million streams. You're not going to buy a Bugatti,
But no, when you look at the likes of Usher, when we look at the likes of who? Usher is probably even recent. Let me look at the likes of the late Al Green, the Barry Whites, the Barry Moores. These are they're like the Bob Marleys, as Bob Marley is to reggae.
Yeah.
So are these guys to R&B.
Yeah.
You'd always find a household whose parents are still alive that will still play those R&B songs that they used to enjoy years ago. So how can we honestly say, because it's not streaming, because it's not mainstream, because it's not being streamed live, that it's going to die?
Now, Michael, let me tell you that it has actually died with the example that you just gave. You know why?
How? Why?
If people still listen to R&B from the 60s and the 70s, it means that genre is on its way going. It's almost done. You know why?
Because your go-to place for R&B is the 60s
and 70s. The genre is dead. I mean, no.
Remember, we have remakes. Remakes.
But how many people would... Wait. With those guys who listen to the origin, how raw R&B used to sound, would they want to listen to remake? No. From what KO said, it's obvious that the gatekeepers of the genre don't want it to sound any other type of way.
But those gatekeepers are getting old and they are dying off.
They have refused to... Look,
so they are dying.
They are saying...
Literally.
Do you know what it means? It means that they are willing to allow R&B die with them.
But that's
we
the
are
thing,
taking it
can't.
With you. And that's the problem. They
because
don't
they
get
met,
it.
They met R&B.
You know, this conversation is something similar to the guys who do boom bap. In all honesty, those guys had dissed the mainstream rappers for like forever. They tell them, you are not hip hop. I mean, there was a time they came at Ludacris even. There was a time they came for Nelly. It's a continuous cycle. Certain people who feel like, look, this is how such and such sound should be like. And I'm telling you right now, in the 21st century, you cannot define a sound. whatever it is that you do that works, that sounds pleasing, it goes. Lil Nas X, who would ever, did you ever see a country record being the one song that would put that guy out?
Yeah, well.
We did not see it. That's the first time it happened.
We're at a time where people are making, coming out with their own kind of music and giving it names.
Yeah.
People are starting their own. They say Afro this, or it's my own genre, it's my sound, so I'm calling it this and that. So, I mean, just to support the fact that it's hard for you to define music and say this is what it is, but I still maintain R&B, I'm sorry, man, R.I.P.
Nope.
For me, I the way I look at it, R&B is the foundation of pop music. And so it's always there.
They just made it faster.
The weird thing about it is, even when a pop musician does R&B, they don't acknowledge that it's R&B. Even when an Afrobeat singer does R&B, people don't acknowledge that. Shit, Thames was singing with Brent Fires on that song.
Yeah.
They didn't rave about it. So that's the weird thing. But one thing I want to ask you guys about, you know, the genre is, if you look at a lot of these young artists, because forget the 60s, there are still some very popular ones, Jasmine Sullivan, Her.
Yeah.
There's this new trend I've noticed, and I'd love to get your take on it. So back in the days, you had guys like Tevin Campbell, Luther Vandross. Ooh. And I think Frank Ocean is in that league.
Whoa.
I'll explain why they're in the
Okay. So they would I heard sing, it, I'm like, whoa.
They would sing songs and they're always singing about a girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in their personal life, you feel, you know, boy, this guy's gay. this guy's like that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
Now you have, there's this girl called Orion Starr. She has a song called Concrete. Like, when lyrics start going, I'm like, did she talk about a girl? Having sex with a girl? And then some, they actually put it out there in the video live. Like, yo, this bitch is kissing another bitch in this video.
Yes.
So, my question is, Tevin Campbell, Luther Vandross, were they wrong in faking it by singing about a girl?
That's the thing. They weren't faking it, dog.
I think, you know, it's this thing is with the times. There are people who are openly gay now. They couldn't think about it a few years ago. You can't even imagine it. So the best thing to do, there was so much hate. There's no acceptance.
But they had structured
this thing in a way.
Personally.
I mean, we're seeing Dabrat getting married in 2022.
Yeah, can you imagine Dabrat?
So this
she could not mention it back then.
You can't even...
I can't even imagine.
Here's the thing. I'm asking a question about you personally as a consumer. Mm. Are you comfortable watching a music video with a singer singing about a guy? When he's a guy,
here's the thing. As for me, the video is a different ball game.
Oh,
entirely. The video is a different ball game entirely. I gotta state this right now, right? Because in all honesty, before we got to understand Frank Ocean's sexual preferences, right? Brother, we listened to those songs. Like, I mean, there were some times he was not gender specific. And music is art. That means how KO sees a certain song or how he perceives a certain record is different from how Eric sees it.
Obviously.
You know, KO might hear this guy talking about, you know, the biggest artist in the world. Eric will hear someone sucking someone's dick somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know where that came from, but it's an example.
Her sucking his dick.
Thank you very much for that. And Detox might just see someone, you know, who's trying to be rude, for example. So that's how music is. So when I listen to it, I'm like, okay, let me try to see if I can take away that element of what gender this person is speaking of and just enjoy the music. I mean, I'll use a perfect example, Sam Smith. I mean, there's so many, when you listen to the old records, you're like, whoa, okay. You know, I feel a certain type of way, but then again, take that out of it, it is still beautiful music.
Yeah, beautiful music. I do not like watching the videos. It makes me cringe. When I hear it, beautiful. But when I'm hearing it and I'm seeing stuff I'm not supposed to see,
But does it take away from the music though?
When I'm watching it,
how you consume the music
when I'm watching it. Yeah, that's why I do not watch.
So you could have enjoyed it double, but now you enjoy it one time
or half. Yes,
because so one way or another it affected. But you know, these are the times where, you know, being gay is not such a big thing. That's why we talk about Lil Nas X and Da Brat.
It is.
It's a big deal,
especially if you are straight.
Yeah,
what did that meant by it not being a big deal is the fact that you would see gay people and life just con- continues.
It just
it doesn't work like that.
No, how does it work, KO?
I mean, because it's not
actually
like
out of offense in Nigeria.
Yeah, in Nigeria it's illegal to be gay, but you would even agree. But even as Nigerians, we are steadily becoming more tolerant than we were years ago. You couldn't even imagine, you know, watching anything or seeing some of those things. But now you scroll on social media, back in the day people just want to say negative things or hate once they see something that is gay. Now people have learned to hold themselves, so you see it highest, you don't say anything, you just move on. That's the first step. Before you know it, it's not bad now.
And honestly, I feel like people are hypocritical, especially guys. If you were to do a deep research on people who watch porn and the type of porn that they watch is girl on girl, that is gay.
Yeah, I was going to.
How come we don't have a problem with that?
I was going to say, even girls don't even have a problem with
that. Exactly, yeah, that's my point.
Wait, you know, it's always there's always that different eye when it's girl on girl.
Yeah.
What's the eye?
there comes another eye, it's a guy and guy. It's like you understand when they say somebody's a lesbian. You understand, you're like, okay, yeah, girls like girls, it's a normal thing. But once they say a guy and a guy, you're like, bro, don't touch me, man.
And let me tell you something about that. Watching porn that has two females in it, the first thing that comes to your mind is, now imagine if I were right there in between the both of them. Okay. I mean, like, come on. Every straight dude's fantasy is to have a threesome with two females. So watching girl on girl porn,
Eric spoke for himself there.
I can't deny.
There you go. Detox is feeling me. Seeing lesbians, you'd be like, oh, okay. Hey, I could still shoot my shot with a lesbian and hoping she would invite her lesbian friend or girlfriend and let's get down.
Where's the connection between R&B and this conversation?
Yo,
right now?
I mean, like, we're getting
while listening to an R&B song.
but seriously though, for me, I love R&B music. There are lots of great artists out there.
Yeah.
The genre should be allowed to evolve, and I love hearing Nigerian R&B. Like,
it's Cool FM Kano's 4Play podcast.
When I heard that Tems, Brent Fires, people like Bella Lubo, Praise, some of the new stuff they are doing, and the fact that they don't want to identify with R&B is kind of painful, because there's a stigma. Once you say you're R&B, it's like, oops, you must only sing about love and it must be only this tempo.
I think there's also a need to, I don't know, like you said, evolve, because look at pop, this is different kinds of it. Look at Afrobeat, there's different kinds of Afrobeat. Yeah, you know. So why can't we have R&B? It's not
genre.
Subgenres. It's not exactly pop, but it's not typical R&B. It's just something else. Who knows? There's a generation waiting for that one, and there's a market on top. So
I think that generation is already here, because when I listen to certain songs by like the likes of Fireboy, the likes of Oxlade, they are fusing traditional R&B with their own sound, with Afro R&B, you know. Yeah. And that's actually, like we mentioned, subgenres. Mm. That could be a subgenre.
It is actually Afro R&B. It is a subgenre. But going back to KO's point, Fireboy knows for a fact that he's probably better off being called an R&B artist.
An Afrobeat artist.
Well, he wants to say he's an Afrobeat artist, but you're honest. Yeah, you know, his brother man can sing. Oxlade can, like,
he can do a lot of things.
You know what I mean? But if he's asked today, he's going to deny R&B.
So how are we concluding this? Are we saying, because I believe with time we're going to forget about R&B. It will become something you just listen to in your car, you and you. It's not going to be popular on the radios, on the radio stations.
Has sold out concerts.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Let's do a demographic check on people who go to those concerts. That's where the problem will come. There are people who are in their 30s, who are in their 40s, sir. And that means you would hardly find teenagers out there. And that's tough.
You think?
But yes, I know. If you take a look at the age range, that's what you discover. And I'm like, yeah, there should be able to be someone who's doing it right now to continue.
Yeah, Jasmine Sullivan, Michael. Why are we talking about Usher?
Those are older people now.
That's what I'm saying.
There has to be younger people ready to do R&B and identify as R&B, because we have more young people than older folks.
Facts.
And we need to carry it. If you want to carry them along, you have the numbers.
Mia Long, the babe that did Hours and Hours.
I don't know that man.
Oh my goodness.
Money Long.
Money Long, rather.
Okay. Money Long.
Yeah.
I mean, Hours and Hours. Listen to that song. Mm. Oh, she puts it out.
It might take me Hours and Hours.
But that song is a good example of an R&B hit because it went viral on TikTok.
Look,
and it's typical R&B.
My final say, yeah, R&B should just learn ways to stay relevant today. It's not enough for you to continue to complain about an industry that's forgotten about you and blah, blah. No. You have been given opportunities. You have been given avenues to ensure that this genre becomes better. But for some weird reasons, those gatekeepers who want to take full advantage of the fact that the present R&B doesn't sound like the generators of it are going to ensure that the genre dies. I would hate for it to die because I would love to listen to R&B certain times, but when it's just not out there popping, I mean, come on. We've seen situations where people collaborate with other genres even. Get someone from... I'm an R&B singer. I'm not going to go pop. But I'll probably just get Taylor Swift on a record. It helps. It has always helped. So R&B, fix up your life.
All right, we're wrapping this one up. And to be honest, I wish we could have listened to some tracks, but we can't do that right now. It would have been really awesome. But yeah, with this episode of the 4Play Podcast, is a wrap. We're out!
It's the 4Play Podcast from your number one hit music station in Kano, 96.9 Cool FM.